Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron
Mills. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the one and only Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway, where we're exploring the news and very interesting people who will make your day better, or at the very least, way more interesting. Check it out. Here comes the next episode of Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. But first, big thanks to one of our sponsors, Bourbon City Golf Carts. If you're in the Kentucky area, they're right across the river in Charlestown, Indiana. But guess what? They'll ship wherever you are. So it doesn't matter where you're listening to Uncommon Sense. You'll be able to get a hold of yourself very own Bourbon City Golf Carts. Now, what's special about Bourbon City Golf Carts? Well, first of all, their inventory is ridiculous. Their prices are amazing. Because I know Tim Montgomery. I've known him for a long time. This dude is as fair as the day is long, and he's creative. So no matter what your budget, if you're looking for one of these carts to get around the golf course or to get around the neighborhood or other kinds of fun applications that can be brought to bear with this, these things go from just your basics, you know, puttering around to pretty awesome, like totally tricked out wheels and paint jobs and everything. You can totally customize these things. You can get a 2-passenger, 4-passenger, 6-passenger. Heck, you can get one that can haul stuff around the neighborhood. Again, it doesn't matter what your budget is. There's something in there for everybody, used, new, and available to be shipped wherever and whenever you need it. So give them a call, 502-718-0757. That's 502-718-0757. Or go check out bourboncitygolfcarts.com. It's that easy. And now, today's episode of Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. This goes back to my early days in radio. I was my very first radio job. I actually was given basically a quick tutorial and left overnight to babysit Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. And the first night they were talking about chupacabras, Bigfoot, and space aliens. And I have loved that stuff ever since. My good friend Lee Kirkland is big into it as well. And he hosts an event called CryptidCon in Lexington, Kentucky every year. He also is a big part of the planning and presentation of Bigfoot Days in Estes Park here in Colorado every year. He'll be back. We'll talk to him about that. And he is a talent manager for a lot of the big personalities you see on some of the paranormal TV shows on the paranormal networks and on the History Channel and others. And so I want to welcome Lee Kirkland back to the program, head of CryptidCon and more. Lee, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man?
It's good to talk to you. We're both Kentucky boys, so y'all just bear with us here if we get into the thick of it. So, I love it.
We'll get into the slang, and you have to have subtitles.
Subtitles on the podcast. What are those two guys talking about? Hey, let's start with Bigfoot in Colorado, right? Let's start with the fact that you've been helping to host Bigfoot Days in Estes Park. By the way, how are you liking that? You've been doing that for a couple of years. How much are you enjoying that event?
Man, I absolutely love that event. It's actually one of my favorites. I love Colorado. Estes Park is top five places of my dreams to live at, you know, eventually one day. But you know, from the very very first event of Estes Park Bigfoot Days, I've been there involved with them, with the town. I bring in all the celebrity guests for them and kind of help with the planning just a little bit, you know, advising, I should say. And, you know, it just keeps growing and growing. I know that they're starting the Dead Man Days, I believe is what it's called up there as well. That's going to be a really big hit. Or Frozen Dead Man Days or something like that.
Oh, geez.
You'll have to check that out.
I can't even wait to find out. So, and what's funny about that is Estes Park is like a hotbed of paranormal activity if you like that kind of thing, right? I mean, you got Stanley Hotel. I mean, didn't you stay there last time you were here?
I've stayed there many, many times, but yes, we did stay there last time, and it's just, I don't know. Whenever I go there, it just feels like home. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I just love it.
Yeah. Okay. Before we talk about Bigfoot in Colorado and some of the other things, in all the times you've stayed at the Stanley Hotel, have you seen anything you couldn't explain?
I have not. However, we were in room 401. That was Lord Dunraven's room, and he was fond of the nannies. It used to be kind of where they would, kind of the nursery where they would have the nannies watching the kids while all the adults would party. And apparently Lord Dunraven, he was one of the ones that kind of helped with Mr. Stanley there in starting the whole hotel. He was apparently fond of the ladies. And Jennifer, my wife and I, were staying in that room. And she got groped up on the back of her leg up to her butt.
Whoa!
So she did have an experience. And it kind of went along with the claims of the room as well.
Are you sure you weren't just getting frisky and didn't want to take credit?
I was on the other side of the room.
I love it, man. I love it. That's crazy. Yeah, I've got the girl who does my hair. She's been up there. She cuts my hair every couple of weeks, and she's been up there, and she has some pictures of orbs that she took on the way to Estes Park. And some creepy pictures from inside the hotel as well. It's pretty wild. Interesting stuff. So let's talk Bigfoot. Estes Park, by the way, is kind of prime Bigfoot country. If there's a place somebody is likely to see Bigfoot, though, in Colorado, is it a heavily traversed national park, or is it some other place deep in the wilderness in the state that maybe is a little harder to get to, like maybe the San Juan Mountains? Or does it need to be connected tangentially to the Pacific Northwest by like some mountain route, like more northern Colorado or something like that? Where do you think is the best place to go Sasquatch hunting in Colorado?
I think that remote locations are definitely the area to go. You know, doing everything that we do, it's just like, you know, kind of human nature. They're going to go where I think they're migrant. I think they're going to go where food is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. I don't think they're necessarily going to be like, you know, near Estes Park, but could they be in the national park somewhere? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's a place just outside of Estes Park, and I know I've talked to you about this in the past, but the missing 411, they actually had one of the cases was there in Estes Park.
Yeah.
About a young kid going missing, and they found his clothes a little bit later folded up. And it was just, I mean, those stories are just unbelievable. Some of them.
Bro, I told you, okay, I don't mean to interrupt, but you know, I told you a couple years ago, I was like, hey, I'm going elk hunting in the mountains, and you were like, you got to watch this show, it'll scare the crap out of you. And I did, the night before I left, because, you know, you're camping up there, you're out in the wilderness, you're by yourself. I freaking watched that damn show the night before I headed up there, and the whole time, I'm up there in my sleeping bag in the mountains by myself, every little noise, I'm like, damn Lee Kirkland, that jackass. Scared the crap out of me, dude.
I told you it would get in your head. I mean, it really will. It's just some crazy stuff.
I love it. So I've always been what I would like to refer to as an open-minded skeptic. You and I have talked about this before. The thing, though, two things that made me more open-minded to a sort of a primate type hybrid creature of some sort. And I'm not saying I believe in it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm open to believing people who tell stories they've seen something. I think 99% of them are misidentifications, but there's some people that I know and I trust, yourself being one of them, that have seen things that I go, I know that Lee's a pretty solid-minded guy and he's not going to make this stuff up, right? And the two things that really kind of made me stay more open-minded to this, number one, was Dr. Jeff Muldrum, who's been on my podcast and on this radio show. He's, I believe, a paleobiologist or something like that out of Idaho State. He's a very reputable guy, and he has compiled an enormous amount of evidence, and it's somewhat overwhelming that there might be something out there. The other thing was I sent you pictures of my own experience in Mount Massive Wilderness, where there was a tree that was smallish but way too big to be snapped in half by a human being, and a little too big to be snapped in half by a bear. And it was something that, like, if it had been a bear, I would have found the top. It was just a weird, and I sent those pictures to you.
It was twisted too, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was weird. It was a strange thing. And I just went, you know, I don't know what did that. It could have been a bear. It could have been something like that. My wife and I saw another tree just like that up on the backside of Pikes Peak last weekend, but it was a much smaller one. So the explanation for that was far more likely a bear or even an elk just chewing on it or something like that. But man, it keeps me open-minded, brother.
It does. Yeah. And you know, just recently, well, I wouldn't say just recently, but, one of my clients is Dr. Maria Mayer. and she's a primatologist. She teaches out of a school out of Miami, and she's actually been credited with discovering a new species of the lemur. And she's very close friends with Jane Goodall, which is, you know, famous for the silverback.
Yeah, sure.
And Jane Goodall is on record saying that she believes that there are such thing as Sasquatch or Bigfoot or whatever you want to call it.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, that's another very credible resource, I think, you know, for the field, is to have somebody like that who's discovering these true creatures, you know, to say that, yeah, there's a possibility, or, yeah, there is something out there.
Well, we're finding, like you said, we're finding species. I think there's new evidence of the Tasmanian tiger that everyone thought was gone, which is actually more of a dog than a cat. But, you know, there's credible evidence from credible paleontologists and botanists and biologists that are coming forward saying, yeah, there's some really powerful evidence of sightings of it, that kind of thing. And we thought they were extinct. So we're finding things like that. Granted, they're in areas that are very sparsely populated. But I guess the question a lot of people are asking, if they're either much more skeptical or even outright not open to any belief at all, is, why don't we have a body? What's the big answer to that?
Well, there are a few answers to that. And, well, I should say theories, not answers. But one of the theories is that the Bigfoot bury their dead. That's probably the most popular belief amongst the blood and bone, you know, bipedal primate, you know, whatever you want to call them, believers. The other case is the paranormal type people believe that these things could possibly be ghosts. And are you there?
Yeah, there we are. I lost you for a second. So they believe that they could possibly be ghosts?
They believe that they could possibly be ghosts. They believe they could possibly be aliens. I mean, there's a ton of theories. There's belief that they can travel through, like, wormholes. And that's why you can see them for 1 minute. There's belief. And man, honestly, I've just recently seen some video footage of something called cloaking. And the best way to describe it is, do you remember the movie The Predator?
Whenever
it would kind of go invisible.
Damn, dude, you're getting me creeped out here.
Like the shimmering kind of cloaking.
Yeah,
man, I saw firsthand video of somebody showing me this at an event in Pigeon Forge, and it looks just like the shape of what you would consider a Bigfoot moving through a woods and then sitting down, and that whole shimmering type of cloaking. And I don't know what it was. You know, the theory is that Bigfoot can now do this, or have always been able to do this to hide. Man, it was a wild video, and it was from the cast of Expedition Bigfoot was where I saw it.
Well, I was going to say, how do we know it's not altered video?
And that's the biggest thing in today, is that with CGI, with Photoshop, with all these things we have,
right?
Video and a photograph is not going to ever prove anything.
Yeah, I
mean, because you just don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point. And AI is even making it even worse, right? Deep fakes and all that. Yeah.
So unless we do have a body, now, you know, people say that we have DNA, but there's nothing to match that DNA to.
Right.
They just say an unknown DNA.
Yeah. That's the hard part about that, is like, it's compared to what, you know?
Exactly. So even DNA at this point isn't legitimate.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to have to eventually have a body.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all the new alien stuff coming out from the government, who's saying the government doesn't have a body somewhere?
Yeah.
You know, we just don't know at this point in our lives. There's so much going on and so much being released. We just, I mean, it's kind of fun for us people who have believed in the past, you know.
Yeah.
And trying to prevent the mass hysteria, they're slowly kind of introducing the fact that aliens are around.
The alien thing is weird to me. Yeah. We're talking with Lee Kirkland. He's the founder of CryptidCon, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that a little bit later, and also helps with Estes Park Bigfoot Days here in Colorado. The space alien thing is kind of an interesting story to me. I can't quite put my finger on whether I think this is a massive misinformation or disinformation campaign by the government, or whether or whether we're getting so close to the actual encounter of the third kind that, like, it's becoming inevitable that the government is slowly preparing us for that, right?
That's what I think that it is. I think they're slowly introducing to us to prevent some kind of a mass hysteria.
Yeah.
But even the little tidbits that they're giving us, people are like, oh, well, that's cool.
Does that surprise you? Does that surprise? I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, it does.
When the New York freaking Times reports that a government official said we have off-world vehicles, and then a guy comes forward from the intelligence community and says, yeah, we have biological stuff. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, cool. What's on Netflix tonight?
Oh, it kills me.
I don't even know what to think of that. What do you think it's the latter theory? You think it's that it's inevitable that these things are here? What do you think they are? Are they space aliens? Are they us from the future?
I don't believe the whole future thing. I mean, that's a big theory in the whole spectrum of aliens. I think that they're from another planet, another galaxy, another universe.
Why are they coming here?
I think they're exploring. I think they might be looking for resources. I think that if there was any hostile kind of purposes, that we would have already experienced that.
Okay. You know, I disagree with you. And let me explain why. I want to give you my theory and see how you react to this.
Okay.
Okay. Assuming what I disagree with is that I don't think we can say that they're not hostile because they haven't done anything yet. Let's think about the theories for how some civilization could get here from another part of the solar system or the galaxy or the universe or whatever, right? It's going to have to involve, especially given the technology that we're told by guys like Bob Lazar and this guy that's Commander Fravor and what they've seen and described, the technology is going to involve the bending of space and time. That's the way it's going to happen, right? So imagine taking two points in space and bending them together to create your wormhole to go from point A to point B, right? The chances that those bend together points are at the same spot every single time to me seem almost astronomically low. Meaning, this 50 years since 1947 of sightings could literally be just from the space aliens' perspective, it could be multiple visits within a timeline of 4 or 5 days. But it's coming into our sort of reality across a spectrum of 50 years, because those points in the wormhole, the space and time connecting together, are not exactly the same every time they run through. Does that make sense, or am I just bending brains?
Oh, no. It makes perfect sense.
Meaning we could be 5 days into their attack, even though we've seen them for 50 years, and we don't know, right? They could still be hostile.
True, yeah. I would think, too, that they would have some sort of a base in this solar system to keep them nearby.
That's kind of scary, too. I also think their women are driving. That's why they keep crashing on the Earth. I'm not saying I completely disagree with you. I don't know that we can definitively say people that can travel across that type of distance, or individuals or entities that can travel that kind of distance across space and time, I don't think our 50 years is the same to them as their 5 days. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's hard to say, oh, well, you know, because we're thinking about it from our timeline and we're saying, oh, there's no way, because they would have done something by now, which I initially thought too. But then I'm like, well, you know, maybe they just, you know, they just are on a different timeline. I mean, if they're that much more advanced, maybe they live 800 years, you know, maybe 50 years is nothing to them. So it's all part of a strategy. Who the hell knows? It's crazy.
With the video and the footage that I've seen of their craft and how fast and what it can do. If they do have weapons, there's no telling what it's going to be capable of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the terrifying thing. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Sure. I'm going to keep you around for another segment because I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other creatures you guys are getting reports on, and then what might be coming up for Estes Park Bigfoot Days and Cryptid Con there in Lexington in a couple months. So we're talking with my friend Lee Kirkland, and we will continue in just a moment. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. All right, back 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station, my good friend Lee Kirkland. If you go to cryptidcon.com, you'll find out more about what he does. He's a talent manager for a lot of the paranormal shows that you see on History Channel and other Discovery Channel, other channels across the spectrum. He also helps to plan and put on Estes Park Bigfoot Days and CryptidCon in Lexington, Kentucky, which is another big event that a lot of people go to that are interested in the paranormal. And since it's October and Halloween month, I thought I'd bring him on to chat about some of these things. We've been speaking about Bigfoot and space aliens. Let's go the whole gamut and bring it into some of the newest creature reports that you've been getting. Many of them in our old stomping ground of Kentucky. What are you seeing in the reports out there from the paranormal world, Lee?
The new popular phenomena coming out now is Dogman. And a lot of Bigfooters, they don't believe in Dogman. Some have said that they think that it might be a version of an injured Bigfoot or an inbred. I've heard those scenarios of an inbred Bigfoot. But people are seeing an upright werewolf looking type of dog creature. And there's been reportings here in Kentucky. There was reportings all across the country, and they're becoming more and more, I think, because people, if they're truly seeing this, they're finally like, you know, with it becoming more popular, they're like, I'm not crazy.
Right.
And so, you know, they may be more apt to come out with the report. But the land between the...
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. The land between the lakes has been a relatively hot spot for the Dogman. And so it's kind of neat seeing these reports come out, you know, locally to me here in Kentucky.
What are they seeing when you say Dogman? Like, what is that? Are we talking a werewolf? Or are we talking an upright bipedal dogish? What
dog, I mean,
sounds
yes.
like a werewolf to me.
And that's the easiest way to put it. They're seeing a werewolf.
Okay.
You know, an upright, large figure, 6, 7, 8 feet tall, dog legs, standing on its back legs. You know, long elongated nose, face, pointed ears, snarling, growling. I mean, there's tons of reports coming out with this thing, and you know, people are seeing it. People are seeing something.
Yeah. Why does it never successfully attack someone, or is like what? Because that's we see the reports, and we're like, I saw this in all across the spectrum of paranormal reports, right? I saw this, and you would think that whatever it is they describe would have like eaten them, but it never does.
How many people who have not said something that went missing, possibly been attacked by them?
See, why do you got to do that to me, Lee?
That goes back to missing 411 by
right.
David Plotty.
I know.
You know, we really just don't know. I mean, when people go missing, and you know, it happens every day.
Yeah.
And the National Park System closed those cases. They won't, you know, they don't make them public.
Right.
So, you know, who knows what's out there getting people out in the woods?
Well, Alaska is the new Bermuda Triangle, right? I mean, there's so many people going missing.
Triangle is, that, and you know, but with UFO cases in Alaska are climbing, you know, monster cases in Alaska are climbing with the Bigfoot, Dogman. So yeah, there's a whole area up there called the Alaskan Triangle at this point.
Yeah,
I think that there is a special. No, that's on the Diatlov Pass coming on tonight on Discovery Channel.
Okay,
and man, that's a story you need to dig into. That is one of the craziest stories in the world.
The Diatlov Pass, didn't Josh Gates with Expedition Unknown do an episode about that? That's in Russia, right? The expedition of young
Russia.
Kids. Yeah. Josh Gates did a really interesting, on Expedition Unknown, did a really interesting episode on that. He kind of poo-pooed the supernatural/paranormal explanation at the end of it, but it was a little too easy of a dismissal for my inquisitive mind, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it could have been, but the story of the campers, you know, cutting themselves out of the tent and finding them up in trees and wearing each other's clothes and their faces being eaten. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's a crazy story.
One of the most compelling stories or theories behind that story. It was a group of college students in Russia that I think it was in the 1960s?
I think recent than that. I think it was in the 70s.
Okay, in the 70s. They go on this hike to this place called the Diatlov Pass, which is, it's very, very wilderness, like as wilderness as it gets. And they're going on this expedition, and they're camping out on the side of the mountain, and basically they all disappear, and then when they found all the bodies, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, they couldn't explain what happened to them. Nobody could explain what happened to them. And the way that they found the bodies, it indicated that they had burst out of the tent, or as you said, cut themselves out of the tent instead of going out the window. They left without shoes on in the middle of frozen, you know, territory. It was wild. It's just a really weird story. So definitely recommend people take a look at that. All right, let's circle back to what you do. CryptidCon, Estes Park, Bigfoot Days. CryptidCon is coming up here pretty quick, and if people are interested in going on a trip and seeing some cool celebrities associated with the paranormal world, highly recommend, because Lexington, Kentucky is an awesome city. It's a very, very genteel southern city with a lot of great restaurants and entertainment. It's a beautiful setting right in the middle of horse country. And you can go to CryptidCon.com. You and I need to chat too about getting David Pilates on with the missing 411. That's a really interesting story, and since it has some Colorado connections and New Mexico connections, I want to dive into that with him. So maybe we can do that. So that'll be fun. People can get tickets by going to your website, CryptidCon.com. And then, well, listen, Lee, it's always great talking to you, man. I appreciate what you do. It's fun. You're always very measured in it, and you've got interesting stories in and of itself. We've had some great podcast episodes and some great times talking to you here. Looking forward to more, and looking forward to seeing you at Bigfoot Days as well.
Absolutely. And you need to make it back to Lexington, man.
You know, and that's a good time to come, too. November's a good time of the year. I try to stay out of Kentucky in the middle of the winter and in the middle of the summer, right? The spring and fall, that's when it's paradise.
That's it.
Listen, brother, good to talk to you, my friend.
You too, brother.
All right, thanks again. Lee Kirkland, CryptidCon.com. Just a little fun with that. Like I said, I am an open-minded skeptic. I don't necessarily believe in Bigfoot. I think people go out into the wilderness, you get a little creeped out when we're alone, because as human beings, we're herd animals, right? Like, we're designed to be around the herd. And if you go out into the woods by yourself, every twig snap, and I know this from hunting, right? Every twig snapping, every strange sound in the breeze in the woods, I mean, weird smell, you know, all of that stuff kind of comes together to create this sort of atmosphere of what could that be, that wonder, and I'm not sure. And then maybe you see a bear standing on its hind legs, and all of a sudden it's a Bigfoot. I think that's 99% of reports. But I also have listened to interviews and talked to Dr. Jeff Meldrum out of Boise State, or not Boise State, he's with Idaho State, but I've talked to him, and I'm like, here's a guy that's pretty damn convincing. He's a doctor, he's got evidence, right? So all I'll say is I'm an open-minded skeptic on that stuff. The space alien stuff, I am unsure where I stand on that as well. I know people that have seen things in the sky they can't explain. My dad saw the Phoenix lights, so that gets a little weird. He didn't say they were space aliens. He was just like, those were not flares. And we were used to seeing planes drop flares where we lived, because we were close to an area where military planes would practice different things and maneuvers. And so we were used to seeing flares drop. And he said, son, that was not flares. What it was, I don't know. But then you have the former governor of Arizona saying not only was he wrong to poo-poo it, but he actually saw it himself, and that what he saw was actually a craft. I don't know. These are crazy things, right? So what people are seeing, I think, let's put it this way. I think there's a whole lot to the world and the universe we don't know. I hesitate to formulate theories, but I love to think about theories. I think that's where I come from, right? Like, I don't necessarily believe in it, and I don't necessarily walk around thinking about it from that standpoint, but I do like to think about it from the wonder side of it, right? Like, what is out there in the universe that we don't know about? And after all, that's the fun in it, right? All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. Big thanks to our executive producer. There's two of them, myself and my good friend Cameron Mills, who is also sometimes a co-host on the show, but he's a super busy dude. Anyway, he remains the executive producer of this program. Big thanks to DX Audio, Dynamics Audio, and Lexington, Kentucky for all their help with building out the production elements of the program. And most importantly, a big thanks to you for listening to the program. In just a second, I'll tell you where you can hear the episodes and share it with your friends. But first, a big thanks again to our sponsor, Bourbon City Golf Carts. Make sure you check out their website, bourboncitygolfcarts.com. All over, no matter what it is that you need, they can ship it to you when it comes to golf carts. You know, it's funny. I remember when my buddy Tim Montgomery first started talking about this. It's become a craze for people to drive golf carts around their neighborhood, right? Why get in the car if you got to go to the neighbor's house or down to the picnic or whatever? Sometimes it's fun to just let the kids rove around. And you can load these puppies up into your RV or on your RV trailer and take them golfing anywhere in the country. These things come from very basic all the way to tricked out wheels and paint jobs. You can customize them. You can buy used. You can buy new. And if you're thinking it's too expensive, don't, because it's not. It doesn't really matter what your budget is. Tim Montgomery can find one that's just right for you. As a matter of fact, right now he's got in stock like over 90 brand new ones and almost 10 used ones. And that number always changes, so there's always plenty of brand new ones and plenty of used ones, and he can get you what you want if he doesn't have it in stock right away. And the price range, again, whatever your budget is, he can make it work for you. Check him out at bourboncitygolfcarts.com, 502-718-0757. Tell him you heard it on Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway. Again, bourboncitygolfcarts.com. Now, where can you hear the podcast? Everywhere podcasts are found. Just send it out. Download it on Apple Podcasts or wherever it works for you. And let your friends know. Shoot it over to your friends. It's on iHeartRadio as well, so you can just send copies of the episodes to your friends. Share the word. Grow the audience. We appreciate every single one of you. Over 100,000 downloads strong and continuing to grow. Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway.